Hello, this is Nittany Sports Now's Joe Smeltzer, joined by Brandon Walker, and this is our fourth episode of the Victory Again podcast, talking all things Penn State football. The Nittany Lions are on their bye week this week. Bye week's winding to a close, actually. It's Thursday night as we're recording this, but Penn State, so far so good, right? It hasn't always been pretty, but Penn State is 5-0 and in the top 10. And that's something that I think any fan would have taken at the beginning of the season. So, Brandon, as Penn State wraps up its bye week and then gets back to the grind of a normal football week and preparing for Michigan next week, what have you seen from this team just through five games so far?
I see a good team. I see a very good team. And we're obviously going to get into that in a little while, what's holding them back. But I see a team that is as talented as any team in the nation. The offensive line is great. It's played better above expectation. They, Aloof, I don't want to mess up his name, but the left tackle,
Pashanu.
Yeah. I look at the mock drafts. He's like, they have a lot of him in the first round. And like all the mock drafts now, they have Juice Scruggs. The line has stepped up. The receivers are good. I think they have been, people are thinking they've been underachieving. I don't think it's all their fault, though. Schedule. The Purdue win, it looks good. It doesn't look quite as good. Oh, it looks a little bit better now after Saturday. So Purdue's what it is. Auburn, okay, that was they beat a mediocre SEC program. Ohio, Northwestern, Central Michigan, their home games were what they were. And I do give them credit for beating Northwestern, and people are, like, getting on them because they only won by 10. Obviously, look. You was up there on Saturday, a torrential. Was it? How bad was the rain?
It was bad. I was in the press box, so I didn't have as good of a look of it. Like I wasn't out in it, but as James Franklin put it best after the game, he said it was a pretty good day, a pretty good fall day. Before the team started warming up, but once warm up started, the rain started, and the rain didn't stop until after the game was over. So. That pretty much summed it up. It was nasty. It was cold. And I think Penn State's four fumbles were reflective of that. And I think if Penn State doesn't fumble four times, they win by a lot more than 10 points. Not to make excuses. They should have played better against Northwestern overall. But, you know, you don't fumble four times on a sunny day, especially when you have Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. So.
Right. I mean, like I said, the elements – rain, I don't know, was it windy out there, crazy? Was it a lot of wind out there?
I don't think it was windy. And like I said, I couldn't really tell too much being inside, but it was just, didn't seem like wind, but it was just kind of an icy rain type of deal. Pretty nasty, so.
Well, anyway, what the point is, the elements are like a equalizer for, you know, teams that has a significant talent difference. So I wasn't surprised. Everybody on our staff picked them to win by at least maybe two touchdowns, at least 21 points. When I saw the rain go down in the stadium, I'm like, yeah, they're not covering. I knew that then. But I'm not worried about, you know, the running backs and fumbling. They wouldn't have done that if it was normal weather. But I think they're what they're supposed to be at this point of the season. With their talent level.
Yeah, I think what they're supposed to be is a pretty good look at it. I would have had them 4-1 coming in just because I picked them to lose at Auburn. Maybe I thought Auburn would be a little better than it is, but I think mainly I just bought into the whole, you know, on the road SEC, voodoo, whatever they call it at Auburn. I bought into that, and obviously I was way off there. But the other games, I expected them to win the close game at Purdue, which they did. Expected them to kill Ohio, which they did. Expected them to beat Central Michigan and Northwestern, which they didn't look all that impressive doing it, but they still won those two games. But Brandon, now we're going to find out what this Penn State team really is coming out of the bye at Michigan at home against what's still a pretty good Minnesota team. I know people are down on Minnesota for losing to Purdue, but you have to remember they were playing without their best player, Muhammad Ibrahim, against Purdue. So that's definitely worth noting. And then you got Ohio State coming in. So
right.
That's a gauntlet. And I think if Penn State comes out of this stretch 1-2, then that's not a win, but that's damage control, I think would be a good way to call it. A good thing to call it. So
it'd be damage control, but we're going to get into it in a few moments. I think this team is so much better than damage control. I think if they go out 2-1 would be great. 3-1 would be awesome, but 2-1 would be the ideal scenario. So if you have one loss, you could still go to the, has a chance to win a Big Ten, because if you lose either to Ohio State or Michigan, say you lose to Ohio State, Michigan might beat them. You know what I'm saying? If one beats the other, you beat one of them and one of them beats them, and like a circle, it'll be a three-way tie, and it's anybody's ball game at that point. But I say 2-1 would be ideal if they want to win the Big Ten. 1-2, they win the rest of the games, they go 10-2, New Year's Six bowl game, which is, I think that's where everybody's expecting them to do. You had an article about them going to the Orange Bowl in January, so which would be a successful season, but.
Well, to go 2-1, I think 2-1 is definitely the best case scenario. They're not winning all three games, but I think to go 2-1 is just, you have to beat. Because the one game that people expect them to win is Minnesota. That's expected to be a win, the whiteout at home. But to go 2-1, you'd have to beat one of a Michigan team that's in the top five on the road and a defending Big Ten champion / college football playoff participant. Or you have to beat Ohio State, who is Ohio State, and a team that many people are picking to win a national championship and see as the best team in the country. Is it reasonable to not just hope for, but expect a Penn State team that's kind of picking up the pieces from the past 2 years to beat Michigan or Ohio State? If both games were at Beaver Stadium, I'd see it different, but I don't know. That it just seems like a tall order to beat one of Michigan or Ohio State. And I think Penn State fans who are of the mindset that they're going to win one of those games, they might be disappointed, because that's a tall order for any team to have. So, I don't know.
I'll just say this. Michigan only got back last year. It is not like Michigan has been a perennial college football contender under Jim Harbaugh.
That's true.
So, it's like you can still – they could still – I still have a little bit of doubts on Michigan. Ohio State is another story, but you got them at home.
I think they match up better with Ohio State than they do Michigan, because Ohio State has a very good running game led by Trevion Henderson. But you think of Ohio State's offense, you think of what they can do with C.J. Stroud and the receiving corps through the air. Well, the strength of Penn State's team, as we know, is the secondary. And Penn State's pass rush has also been, you could argue, one of the best in college football, too. So, and plus what you mentioned with the game being at Beaver Stadium, and James Franklin has lost to Ohio State every year except one in his time at Penn State, and that's something that people use against him. But all of the games, with the exception of 2015 in Columbus, which was Franklin's second year, and he was still kind of establishing what he wanted the program to be, every game they played with Ohio State has been close. No matter, it seems like no matter what's going on with Penn State, no matter how good Ohio State is, Penn State, either takes him down to a wire, to the wire, or at the very least doesn't get embarrassed. So I talked to a kind of a random Penn State fan at PNC Park at the Pirate game yesterday. He said he's expecting Ohio State to beat Penn State by 4 touchdowns. And, you know, I just don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a tough game because when Penn State plays Ohio State, they're up for it. And it usually, it almost always doesn't end in a win, but Penn State competes against Ohio State. And I don't see any reason why it shouldn't compete against Ohio State this year. Michigan has been a different story, though. 2016, 2018, and those were two pretty good Penn State teams, but they went to Ann Arbor and got absolutely blown out of the building by Michigan. I guess the best way to put it was I would be less surprised by Michigan blowing out Penn State than I would Ohio State, even though Ohio State's a better team. And I don't expect Penn State to get blown out by either any team they play this year, really. But I might even feel better overall about Ohio State than I do Michigan, as weird as that might sound for some people.
I agree with that. So you, the next thing you wanted to talk about, who's the best player on their Penn State so far? Number one, all right, one on offense, obviously, you got to say Nicholas Singleton. You could throw Katron Allen in there too. Second best, like the, and then you got on defense, I'd say Jahir Brown and Joey Porter Jr. I mean, that's like the magic combination. That is the main reason why I say, look, that secondary can match up against Ohio State. They can compete with them. And if you can compete with Ohio State, you can compete with any team in the country, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's what I put in my article, which I wrote yesterday, but it came out today. I think this is an overall talented group, but I think those four are the core and the reason why that they are a threat, a legit threat in the Big Ten.
Yeah. And I agree with you on three of the players you mentioned, Brandon. My MVPs for offense are Singleton and Allen because they have given Penn State a running game, which it really didn't have last season. And not having a running game was a big reason why Penn State ended up going 7-6 and wasn't a 10-plus win team. I think you could argue that, along with poor play by the offensive line, were big factors in why last year's season went kind of haywire on them the way it did. So those two have given Penn State a formidable running attack again, which is huge. So they're my MVPs on offense. Also, honorable mentions there, tight end Brenton Strange, left tackle Olu Fashanu. Strange has separated himself coming into the season. We kind of thought of Penn State's tight ends as a trio with Strange, Theo Johnson, and Tyler Warren kind of splitting the load there. But Strange has really separated himself and has become, not just in receiving, but blocking, definitely Penn State's number one tight end, no doubt about it.
I think he's the best tight end in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, and he is a Mackey Award candidate for sure. And then Olu Fashanu, the best way I could describe him is that he doesn't let anything happen to Sean Clifford. Like, I'm sure, Brandon, you've seen The Blind Side talking about the importance of the left tackle protecting the quarterback. That's what Olu Fashanu has done. I have to look it up, but I don't think he's allowed a single pressure all season. And that's really a testament to what left tackle's number one job is, and that's to protect the quarterback. And Fashanu has definitely done that with Sean Clifford. So moving over to defense, I'll stick with what I did with offense and what you did with offense, Brandon, and kind of single out a tandem. You said Joey Porter and Jahir Brown. I'll go Joey Porter and Kalen King, both quarterbacks. Porter's getting a lot of the attention, obviously. The Purdue game week one was, I think, his coming out party in prime time on national television. Purdue, Aiden O'Connell, Jeff Blom were going at him at will, and Porter just never backed down. I think he ended the game with 6 incompletions forced, 3 pass breakups, 2 in the fourth quarter. Just really rose to the challenge. And since then, teams really haven't been thrown his way. So Joey Porter Jr. has established himself as Penn State's number one lockdown quarter. But the other quarterback that plays Porter's opposite, and I don't think he's the guy that's gotten as much attention, as Kalen King. Kalen King is the highest rated defensive back, or at least the highest rated quarterback in college football, according to Pro Football Focus. Now, you can take Pro Football Focus's ratings with a grain of salt, but the bottom line is that King has been very good for Penn State in this just his second season. He's a good complement to Porter, too, in that he can definitely – he can shut down a team's number one receiver as well. But Kalen King gives Penn State something that Joey Porter Jr. doesn't, and that's a run stopper. Porter's what I wouldn't say Joey Porter Jr. one of his strength is getting in there in the backfield and stopping an opposing running back. But Kalen King's a guy that can do that and do that very well. So I think that tandem has been fantastic for Penn State, and it's maybe one that isn't getting enough attention nationally.
Like Kalen King, he's definitely underrated. Plus that. Another freshman, you could add two freshmen, Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
They're making a difference big time. Chop Robinson, you can name a lot of names that three guys that just came into the program and making an impact right away. And so it's just, you have impact players all over the defense. Offensive line's playing well. It's like, now we're probably going to build into this conversation because that I guess this is what's going to dominate it. So let's just get into it, because I think you might disagree with what I'm – you might disagree somewhat with what I wrote today.
Yeah, I wouldn't pull Sean Clifford really in any circumstance unless they lose the next three games. That's my opinion. But, Brandon, talk about your reasoning, and some of our listeners probably already read your column, but what's your reasoning for wanting Drew Aller to step in at quarterback if Sean Clifford doesn't do the job at Michigan?
I'd say at any point the rest of the year, because all the reasons we just described, this is probably James Franklin's best team in regards to talent. All the talent, it's all come together except for Sean Clip, except for the quarterback position. That's still a question mark. It applies in the NFL and it applies in college football, which, let's face it, it's almost with NILs and transfer, it's a glorified professional sport. But I just think Allar is the best quarterback on this team. Let's just not put years here, years and 6 year senior versus freshman. I don't care who's the more talented player. Allar, I think they can have a chance to win all three of these games. And I think Aller can do it. Like I mentioned before, they had Kelly Bryant at Clemson. You had Trevor Lawrence. He led Clemson to the ACC championship, led it to the college football playoff. And what happened? What happened at that college football play? Alabama dominated. They went out again. They couldn't do anything. So Sean Clifford has done a lot for Penn State. I love what he's doing with the NIL, trying to do everything with for college football, getting the benefits for the rest of their lives. That's awesome. That's great. But this is a team that has an opportunity to win a Big Ten championship and then go to the college football playoffs. You want James Franklin to be loyal to them because he's a six-year senior? But what about Joey Porter, who may not be back next year? What about Jahir Brown? What about P.J. Mustafa, who won't be there? Everybody said they want to build to 2023, 2024. Who cares? Worry about that then. Here and now, you have an opportunity to be a special team. And Allar, for what I've seen, is special.
But we haven't seen a lot from Aller yet, though. He's done well in his limited sample. He came in, I thought he looked very good in his very brief sample against Purdue. Played with 6 of 8 for 78 yards and 2 touchdowns against Ohio. And he got in against Auburn briefly, got in against Central Michigan briefly. But based on that, his biggest game thus far has been against Ohio. So I don't know if he's proven enough yet to me to say he should be starting at quarterback over a guy, Sean Clifford, that's, I know the past two games haven't been great, but overall he's been what Penn State's needed him to be. And that's a guy that will complete a high percentage of passes and not make any mistakes. And now we're getting into the teeth of Penn State's schedule, which we mentioned, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio State. Those are the games where you want a veteran that's been there before to lead the offense. And Clifford has played very well in big games in the past, even last season, which was a season that got a lot of Penn State people against Sean Clifford. He was very good against Auburn, very good at Ohio State. Those were two primetime games under the lights. So Sean Clifford's played in a lot more big games than Drew Aller has. And I think for a 6-year quarterback to get a hook, he has to be not getting the job done at all. And I think for the most part, Clifford's gotten the job done. So I know James Franklin isn't considering making a switch, and I don't really think he should be thinking about what to do with the quarterback position, because honestly, I feel that Sean Clifford gives Penn State what they need, and Penn State can reach its goals for 2022 with him. So Drew Aller is going to be better than Sean Clifford when his time comes. I think we all think that he's going to be starting next year. And I know, Brandon, you wrote the why wait till next year in your column, basically. But I just think that Clifford is doing what's needed for Penn State to win right now and putting in a true freshman who doesn't have much experience. All of his experience have came either in blowouts or in Purdue's case, a brief emergency relief situation. That's a guy that can make big mistakes and lose a ball game just based on his inexperience and based on poor decision-making that an 18-year-old kid is more likely to have hinder him than a 24-year-old in Sean Clifford is. So I think Clifford's a safe bet. Clifford's the guy that might not win you a game by himself, but definitely won't lose you a game by himself in most places. Stick with the guy that's been there. Stick with the guy that's been doing the job. Stick with Sean Clifford. And I know he's not the most fun quarterback to watch, but I think he is the best option for Penn State as it goes into this big October stretch.
You could be right, but I'm just saying, I don't think you're going to beat him. If he plays well, keep him in the game.
Yeah.
I'm not saying totally – The article wasn't about him. They should bench him, period. I said if he struggles. Yeah. Like, we'll just use this as an example. Like, if it's a 10-6 game and he's, like, being Mitch, like, we'll compare it to Mitch Trubisky, we're based out of Pittsburgh, so we can do it. You're Mitch Trubisky. You got to get a spark in. If you got to get to provide a spark for your offense, I'm for it. I know he's a freshman, but if you don't think he's capable of handling that situation, why did you recruit him to come here?
Well,
that's my thing.
It's like the same type of deal in the NFL where, you know, rookies end up having to wait their turn. And I think if Sean Clifford was a poor quarterback, I would say throw Aller in there. But Sean Clifford's more of a game manager. I think we all agree on that. But I think a game manager is what kind of suits this Penn State offense. Because Penn State, all of a sudden, it kind of seems like overnight has become a team that's going to run the ball a lot, has more than one option to run the ball. And when Auburn was a perfect example. Nick Singleton ran wild against Auburn. Catron Allen scored 2 touchdowns, did very well too. And Sean Clifford only threw 19 passes, but he completed 14 of them. And did what was needed to win that game. I think a veteran guy that's not going to light up a stat sheet, not going to inspire the fans to go crazy, is kind of what this offense needs.
I'm going to trust you because you're the beat writer, so you could, you have the more, you see, you're at the games, so I have to defer to, on that note, you have a very excellent point, but all I'm saying is, if you want to win it, if he wants to win a national championship, which is the goal, you got to at least consider it. You got to at least consider it.
Yeah, because I think the coaching staff, you know, they play out every possible scenario. But that's something that I think a lot has to happen for Drew Aller to become Penn State's starting quarterback this season.
All right. We probably know that's not going to happen, but
yeah,
it's just food for thought. If you just got to do whatever you need to do to win the game and the next game and the next game and the next game. And I don't want James Franklin's loyalty to Drew Aller, I mean to Sean Clifford, to get in the way of them achieving everything they want to do this year.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But I think whatever Penn State's ceiling is can be reached with Sean Clifford at quarterback. I'll put it that way.
Well, I could say that because of Stetson, quarterback who Georgia has.
Stetson Bennett.
Yeah, Stetson Bennett. I was gonna say Stetson Bailey. I think he's. I would say this. I think Sean Clifford's a little bit better than him.
Yep, I think that's fair.
I would say that. So if Georgia can win it with them, but Penn State's defense ain't. I wouldn't put it. I'm not ready to say it's up there with the Georgia defense and that stuff. But
last year's Georgia defense was one of the best in college football history. So I think I don't know if Penn State's at that level.
Go ahead.
This is episode 4 of the Victory Again podcast. Joe Smeltzer and Brittany Walker of Brandon Walker, excuse me. Of Nittany Sports Now coming to you. Brandon, my apologies again for botching your name, but we're going to talk more about Michigan next week as Michigan week really kicks in, but we'll talk a little bit about it now. So Brandon, what have you seen from Michigan this season? Obviously undefeated, ranked number 4 in the AP poll. What have you seen from it, and what are kind of your early thoughts on what Penn State can do to get what would be a pretty big upset win? Penn State's a 10-point underdog early at Michigan. What have you seen from Michigan, and what can Penn State do to beat Michigan?
I mean, they beat, Hawaii, Colorado State, UConn?
Yep,
Maryland played them tough Iowa played themselves, so they still are basically the same, almost the same team that they had last year. I have to look them up. I apologize, but this is more of a next week question. I'm going to have to do my digging on Michigan, but I know they've been dominant on the games they're supposed to, and in the games that were more competitive, they found a way to win. So,
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy's really coming to his own as Michigan's starting quarterback. Starting out, Jim Harbaugh wanted to split Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy as his quarterbacks, kind of a two-quarterback system there. But McCarthy's kind of won out on that job, a 5-star sophomore, and he's played pretty well. Granted, the competition hasn't been great, which we alluded to, but he hasn't thrown an interception yet. He's thrown 6 touchdown passes, a QBR of 82.2, which is pretty good, 13th in college football. He's coming to his own as a young quarterback. But the man I think that's going to be the key to whether Michigan beats Penn State or if it doesn't is Blake Corum, the running back. Blake Corum did not play in Michigan's 21-17 win at Beaver Stadium last year. But Michigan had Hassan Haskins in the backfield. Haskins kind of ran wild against Penn State, and Michigan's running game still did a lot of damage. But now Corum's the main guy, and he has been the man. That's the best way to put it. For Michigan's offense, already has 10 touchdowns in five games, and he is just going to be a force and an early Heisman candidate as well. It's going to be a big week ahead. We'll have plenty of content over on Nittany Sports Now. You can check out Brandon's column on True Hour and how Hour should be given the chance if Sean Clifford starts to struggle against Michigan or at any point. And I also wrote a column about Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and how they are already a dynamic duo, which not even Saquon Barkley and Miles Sanders were at Penn State. So you can read those on our site, Nittany Sports Now, and we'll have plenty of content coming ahead between now and Penn State's game against Michigan, and look for another Victory Again podcast episode five, if you will, next week, which we'll talk more in depth about the Michigan game. But for Brandon Walker, Joe Smelter, this has been episode 4 of the Victory Again podcast. Thanks for tuning in.